Matthew chapter 9. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 38, the whole chapter of God's Word, Matthew chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 1, Matthew chapter 9. These are the words of God, and so let us give our attention unto them. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes said to themselves, "This fellow blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." And he got up and went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named, or called Matthew, sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him asking, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." While he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder. He said, "Leave, for the girl has not died but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. When the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all the land. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. As they were going out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. After the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "He casts out the demons by the rulers of the demons." Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And that is God's word. Amen. Here we see Jesus in this chapter being shown to have this great power. After all, we know he is the God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power. But they did not necessarily know that in that time. He's also being shown to be great in mercy. And in these things, he shows that he is sufficient to convince us that he is both able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. And that he is willing to actually do so. He does this by healing the paralytic. He also forgives his sins. Despite the scribes calling him a blasphemer. Why do they call him a blasphemer? Because he has forgiven his sins. And they see in Jesus him claiming to be God. Because only God forgives sins. And he forgives sins because he is God. But they didn't know that he was God. They weren't seeing it. He heals the lady with the hemorrhage, raises up the official's daughter. He heals the two blind men so that they can see. He casts out the demon from the man and heals all manner of sicknesses. Verse 35. Jesus shows his power and mercy over the bodies of people. But also Jesus shows his power and mercy over the souls of people. Like in verse 2 we just said, we saw he forgave the sins of the paralytic because he believed. He was forgiven. He calls Matthew, the tax collector, a despised man in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the Jews, a sinful man. One who would take money from them. But he calls Matthew to himself. And then he goes and he sits not with the righteous, but he goes down and he sits with the sinful people. And he gets called out for that. Why? To heal them in their souls. Because the sick need healing. The sinful need healing. And he converses with John's disciples about the spiritual act of fasting. And at the end of the chapter, what does he do but preaches the gospel to the multitudes? And he sends out his disciples to do the same. Sends them out to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that if you believe in his sacrifice and his death on the cross, then you will be saved. Disciples being used to do the same thing as Jesus was doing. And so here he proves himself to be the skillful, faithful physician of the body and soul, who is the only one who has sufficient remedies for both. And to him we must give ourselves and glorify him both with our bodies and souls because we are his. We are his creation. And by that very basis, what we heard in the call to worship, just by being his creatures, we owe him all our worship. And so let's continue in our worship now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful that you are a God who has seen fit, even though we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, you have seen fit to give us your Son, who came as a man, being God, and lived a perfect, righteous life, a life that we can't live because we're continually in sin. And he died the perfect death, the satisfying death on the cross to satisfy your wrath, to satisfy your holiness. And because he was God, he did it for all who would believe in him, not just one man, but all who would believe. And so, Father, we're praising you this day because you're a God who has given us your Son. We're thankful that You have even raised them up from the dead. So even when our bodies die and we go into the grave in our bodies, at the last day You will raise us up in union with Christ. And You'll give us new glorified bodies. And so all the pains and the struggles of our bodies today, in this world, the cancer and all things that we experience, even bones that break. Father, You will give us new bodies that will never be sick and never have cancer. There'll be no more pain. And Father, we have that picture here in the healing of these people and their bodies, the paralytic and the woman with the hemorrhage and the girl who had fallen asleep, who had appeared to have died, and many others. Father, we look in hope when we don't have to worry about using up our bodies and then the next day waking up with sore muscles and bones that ache and organs that fail to work. But we'll have bodies which are perfect in every way. Those who are Your people will experience such. And yet those who are not Your people will experience not new glorified bodies, but those bodies in which they rot and they're eternally dying, dying day after day after day in hell. Father, may that not be any of us here. Even we ask of our children that You would give them faith to believe. And You would heal not only their bodies, You would heal their souls. That they would enter in and there'd be no more sorrow, no more weakness of the flesh. That all here would have souls which are made perfect. As we enter into glory on that day of our last breath, we immediately pass into glory, being made perfectly holy and righteous. What that will be like, we do not really comprehend, because we've only known a world of sin and evil and the fleshly desires of our own hearts. And yet we look in hope for it, even this day, the Lord's day. And Father, we look in hope and blessing to come when we'll sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and feast with You. And so, Father, we ask this day You would forgive our sins. You would turn us from our sins unto You, the living and true God, the God who's given us all things, even His Son. Father, we also pray for our government. We pray that You would save their souls. That You would cause them to rule justly, righteously, and if it be Your will, according to Your word. Father, our nation is very clearly a fallen nation. And only You can save us. Spare us for the few righteous that remain. And give glory to Yourself and Your name. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And so hear our prayers. We know that You'll hear them, because we come by the blood of Christ. And we know that You'll answer them, because He, even now, Jesus, pleads for us before You, the Father. And so we ask that You would receive our prayers, that You would receive them and perfect them. And even now, as we continue in our worship, that You would receive our worship and perfect our worship in Christ, Your Son. We pray in His name. Amen.